in chapter 10. I think that thing's on.
Second Corinthians. And Second Corinthians chapter 10. Let's begin reading verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now take your pen tonight, and I want you to underline in verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Underline the word weapons, the weapons. Then you and I are in a warfare. Now underline it, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, weapons. Then I've got me a shotgun, I've got me a 300 Winchester mag, and I've got me a pistol, but those are not my weapons, and they're not your weapons. If you're saved, forget it, that's not your weapon. He said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Write them in the margin of your Bible. In the margin of your Bible, write, weapon number one is the Word of God. Weapon number two is prayer. You have two weapons in this warfare. Number one, it's the Word of God. Number two, it's prayer. That's your weapons. Now you've got an enemy. You've got an enemy to fight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you'll please wash me in your precious blood. Wash me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toe and cleanse me, Father. And I pray that you would please give me 3 loaves of bread to feed to my friends tonight. Lord, I pray that you would please fill me with the Holy Spirit from the top of my head to the bottom of my toe. And I pray that this message would be understood, it would be plain, and it would be clear, and it will not be forgotten, Father, please. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, we have a weapon. I want you to underline in verse 4, warfare. Underline that, warfare. So every Christian, when the minute he gets saved, he's in a warfare, and he has some weapons. What's he supposed to do? In verse 5, casting down imagination. Underline that, casting down imagination. What is that? That's right in the margin of your Bible, thoughts that get in your head. Thoughts get in there. Any way they get in there. Don't make any difference how they get in there or when they get in there. If that thing is not from the Holy Spirit and from God, you're to say, I'm not to be thinking that away. I'm not to think those kind of thoughts. That's going to mess me up. And you're to cast them down and get them out. Don't think about it very long. It's a warfare. It's a warfare. Casting down imagination. Now, take your pen and underline. It says in verse 5, not casting down imagination. Now underline, every thought, bringing unto captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bring it unto captivity. What's that mean? That means I'm going to think a certain way, and I'm going to not think the wrong way. You know what the Christian life is all about? It's about how you think. How you think. So you've got to watch it. You've got to watch it very carefully. Now I'm going to preach on the Christian warfare. We got three enemies. We've got three enemies. Anybody tell me who the three enemies are? I mean, boldly tell me who all three enemies are. Come on, folks. Come on, you know who they are. Come on, boldly. How many of you was here Monday night, Tuesday night? How many of you was here Tuesday night? Then you should boldly tell me the three enemies. The devil. Everybody say them. The devil. There you go. You got them.
You got three enemies. Now I want you to see some things very clearly. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans and turn to Romans chapter 6. This is the introduction to my message, so you'll get it plain and clear. You won't miss it. Romans chapter 6. I am actually preaching about the three enemies that you have. That's the core of my message. But I'm going to mention them now, and then I'm not going to mention them much. Here's the enemy. Romans chapter 6, and look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. What are you to reckon to be dead? Back in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So underline it. Body of sin. What's that called? It's called the old man. Underline it in verse 6. Old man. So what is that? That's my flesh. It was crucified with Christ. It becomes your enemy. And when it comes to sin, he is your enemy, and you're to face this fella as your enemy when it comes to sin. Now again, take your Bible and look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, and in your own time, read all of chapter 6, all of chapter 7, and know without a doubt of it, out of a doubt, that the flesh is your enemy. Look at verse 23. But I see another law in my members. That's your body. Now take your pen and underline the next word in verse 23. Romans chapter 7, verse 23. Warring against the law of my mind. Underline the word warring. So there's a battle going on, a Christian in his battle, and the weapons of his warfare are not carnal, and he's fighting against his own flesh. Warring. Now take your Bible again and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at verse 11. Here it is again. Showing you that this warfare is against my sinful flesh, and I'm to reckon it to be dead when it comes to sin. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. Write it in the margin of your Bible. The fleshly lust of my body. Write it in the margin of your Bible. Because sometimes your body doesn't want to do right. Sometimes it wants to do wrong. Now underline it. Fleshly lust of my body. Now, the fleshly lust. What's that next word? Everybody say it. Warreth. So underline the word. Warfare. When Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, one of the enemies is your flesh. Warring against my soul. Now again, take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse 8. You all know, everybody knows, that the devil is your enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your what? Adversary. That means the devil. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. So the devil's your enemy. Now take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And see how the world is your enemy. All right, and I'm giving you an introduction because I want you to get the three enemies in mind, keep them in mind. And then in the rest of my message, I want you to keep these three enemies in mind throughout the message. All right, Romans chapter 12, and look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when you get saved, what happens? You start thinking different. You say, Lord, help me to think different. Help me to think different. Help me to think different. You're supposed to think different. The renewing of your mind. Different than the way you used to think. That's why it is when you get, the older you are, when you get saved, the harder it is. So the more you can go, brother, go, 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 go. Don't let nobody stop you. Because you've got a lot of old thinking to get rid of. Amen? You've got to do some new thinking. Say, Lord, help me not to think the old way. Think me the new way. And that book right there tell you how to think the new way. All right. Now again, take your Bible. The world is your enemy. Turn to Titus chapter 2, look at verse 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Now turn to the verse. Turn to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. And it says, in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, it says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and what? Worldly lust. Underline it. Worldly lust. What is that? That means the world is your enemy. The world is your enemy. Worldly lust. All right. Now again, take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. I'm showing you the Christian has three enemies, three basic enemies that he's got to fight. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this, underline it, present evil world. Underline that in your Bible. Present evil world. Now why the present evil world? Because it was evil back in that age, it's evil in this age, it'll be evil in the age to come, it's evil in every age. So the Lord said, present, that means right now, today, 1995, it's evil today. Why? The world's your enemy. The world's your enemy, you're fighting against it. Again, take your Bible, I'll give you something you need to write down. I think I've proved the point. But write down 2 Timothy 4:10. Where it says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now write it down. 2 Timothy 4:10. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What does James chapter 4, verse 4 say? Well, I don't know either. James chapter 4, verse 4. Turn to it. James chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Amen? So what is the devil? The devil's our enemy, the flesh is our enemy, and the world is our enemy. Christian is fighting against them all the time. You got a tremendous fight. And he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. One more. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Turn to it. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look at verse 3. 2 Timothy 2, 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a what? Good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then a soldier is what? A soldier is somebody that's fighting a battle. And you're in a good fight, you're in a good battle, and you're to be a good soldier, and you've got three enemies to fight, the devil on this side, and you've got the flesh on this side, and you've got the world. Now write it down. Don't ever underestimate your enemy. Don't ever underestimate your enemy. Why? That's what Christians do. They underestimate the enemy, and then they lose the battle. They lose the battle. All right, now, I want you to take your Bible and turn over to 1 Samuel. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. This is point number one. Point number one in my message is 1 Samuel chapter 13. Now turn to it. 1 Samuel chapter 13, and look at verse 21. 1 Samuel 13, 21, it says, yet they had a file. Underline that. A file. You know what a file is? A file is one of those things I brought at the God sale today. It's a little bitty thing like that. It's got a handle on it like this. Got a wood handle on this. And you take that and you sharpen something with it. You sharpen something with a file. You sharpen it with a file. Now, they're in a war here. It said, yet they had a file. File for what? For the matrix and for the coltrus, I think that's what it is, and for the forks and for the axe and to sharpen the gourds. Now, underline the word sharpen. So they had a file to sharpen what? The weapon. Now, I may have missed some of those words in there, brother. I may have. I don't know for sure. But I know something. Those are what they sharpen those things up with to fight in the battle. They sharpened an axe. Because he didn't have any guns, didn't have any bows and arrows. All they had was an axe, so they took that file and they sharpened that axe down so they could run into the battle with a sharp axe and cut off some guy's head. And they sharpened the fork, pitchfork up, sharpened that pitchfork up so they could run into the battle and they could jam some guy in the battle. They had to keep the weapon sharp. So write it down. Point number one, you gotta keep the weapon sharp. You gotta keep the weapon sharp. You know what's wrong with Christians? The weapon gets dull. The weapon gets dull, and it's not sharp. So they win, they lose the battle. What are your weapons? Your weapons are the Word of God. He says, take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation and the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So you got to keep sharp. What do you got to keep sharp? You got to keep this sharp. So what you got to do? Keep going in it. Keep going in it. And keep it going in it. And keep going in it. And keep it sharp. Keep it sharp. Keep it sharp. Keep it ready. This year, I left here and I went home. And my wife was sitting there. And I said, I sure like my gun. She said, I hate guns. I thought, oh boy, here we go again. And she said, I said, you hate guns? What do you hate guns for? She said, they kill people. And I said, no, guns don't kill people. People kill people. Guns don't kill anybody. Ma'am, I think I'm right anyway. And she said, no, guns kill people. And I thought, that woman, she's going to take that pistol of mine, and she's going to hide it, and then I'll never find it. I'm going to get my pistol. So I went in and got my .357 Magnum and got a box of shells. And I seen a great big knife there with it. The guy gave me worth $100, and so I took that. And I said, I've got to hide this somewhere. So I went outside and walked around for a while and walked into the church and walked into the garage and walked into the other church. And I hid that .357 Magnum somewhere. I don't know where I hid it. I've hid it someplace. I have looked high and low. I've looked through the garage. I had a whole garage sale, took everything out of the garage, and I still couldn't find that .357 Magnum. It is hid somewhere. I think it's for some poor soul in the tribulation who's going to come along and need that .357 Magnum with some shells. But I can't find it. Somebody says, you got to find that .357. I've got down on my hands and knees and said, dear Lord, I don't have to have that .357 Magnum, but I'd like to have it. It'd be nice to have it. It's my gun. I bought it with my money. And Lord, I would like to have it. Would you please show me where it is? I still have not found it. I've had everybody in my church pray for that .357 Magnum. I still can't find it. You know what's wrong? Well, I suppose it's for some poor soul in the tribulation. But you know what you got to do? In the warfare that you're fighting, brother, you got to keep this weapon sharp. You got to keep it sharp. You got to go through it and say, Lord, here's this one, and 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 here's this one. Because when the devil hits you, lots of times you can't say, let me go get my Bible. I got to go get my Bible. Wait a minute. Hold the story here. I got to go get my Bible. You may not have your Bible. When the flesh rises up in you and the old flesh says, I want it now. You won't have the Bible with you. You better have that word hid in your heart. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You better keep that book sharp, brother. Keep the weapon sharp. Read the Bible every day. Now, what's your other weapon? You got two weapons. The weapons of all warfare are not carnal. The Word of God and what? Prayer. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew. And turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Now turn to the verse. Matthew chapter 26. Now watch what it says. You got a tremendous weapon. And you got to keep it sharp. Matthew chapter 26. And I want you to mark verse 41. Verse 41. Don't let the weapons get dull. Don't let the weapons get dull. When prayer meeting's here, you be here. You be here when prayer meeting starts on Wednesday night. You be here. Why? That's keeping the weapon sharp. Because if you miss it, and you miss prayer meeting, brother, that weapon gets dull. And you know why people mess up, and I mess up, and you mess up? Because you didn't pray. You didn't pray. Every car that I've ever bought that I shouldn't have bought, it's because I didn't pray. That's right. Every one. I went up and picked some huckleberries once. And I went up and picked a whole bunch of huckleberries, and it smells a bear, and so I decided to leave. And when I left, I went over to the car lot, and I bought a new car that day. Sure did, just like that. Zip, zip, that, began going, new car. But you know what it was? It was a $5,000 balloon payment. I kept saying, the Lord's going to get me out of this. He's coming back in 1989. Well, he didn't come back. And only by God's grace got me out of that. But it's because I didn't pray. God's merciful to you, brother, but boy, sometimes you can do some things that'll cost you dearly because you don't pray. Now look at this one. Matthew 26, verse 41, it says what? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. So how do you get the victory over the flesh? You're warring against the flesh. What do you got to have? You got to have the weapon. What do you got to have? The Word of God? And you got to have what? Prayer, 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 prayer. Brother, when that old flesh says, I want a little bit of this, and a little bit won't hurt, and all depends on how you look at it, and everybody else does it, you'd flat better say, oh God, help me. You're in a battle. And I haven't won them all. I haven't won them all. You haven't won them all. None of us have won them all. You've lost enough already, brother, but don't lose them all. Win a few. Win a few. Keep the weapon sharp. Now, again, point number two. Take your Bible and turn to Joshua. And turn to Joshua chapter 5. Turn to Joshua chapter 5, and look at verse 1. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1 says, and it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites were on this side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan. Okay? God dried up the waters of Jordan. What does that mean? That means all the nation of Israel walked through that river Jordan because God dried it up. And all the nations on the other side heard about it. Follow that? Say amen. Amen. They heard about that. Okay? Now watch it. Who's the enemy? All those nations on the other side. All right? Dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we passed over, that that their hearts melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore. Now take your pen and underline it. Neither was their spirit in them anymore. Then write it down. Point number two. When you fail to keep on resisting and your resistance is gone, the battle's over. Part of the battle is resistance. Part of the battle is saying, I'm going to resist, I'm going to resist, I'm going to resist, I'm going to resist. I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to quit. When, brother, you're discouraged and the resistance is gone, the battle's lost. You got to resist! See that? When that thing happened, it said there was the spirit in them, it wasn't anymore. They just said, man, we can't win. Well, I'll tell you something. You can't ever quit. You got to keep on resisting and resisting and resisting, and you're fighting a good fight. Don't ever quit. And when a Christian quits and he stops resisting, then it's over. Don't ever get to your place where you say,
I just got to let the flesh have its way. I just can't help it. I just got to let the flesh have its way. No, you don't! The flesh didn't have to have his way. You can resist him. You can say, no, the devil don't have to have his way. The devil was defeated at the cross of Calvary. And if you take and run to Jesus, you can have the defeat. The world don't have to have his way. Keep on resisting. Keep on resisting. Keep on resisting. Never quit resisting. Now take your Bible and turn to the book of Daniel. The devil wants to break your resistance. Write it down that way. The devil wants to break your resistance. That's what he does. He just wants to take and break your resistance where you just get and saying, I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm just frustrated. I'm tired. How many of you are tired here tonight? Raise your hand. Say amen. You're tired. You're weary. How many of you fought and lost a battle? Say amen. How many of you lost a battle miserably? Say amen. How many of you lost a battle and you know you lost a battle and you were guilty and you did it absolutely on purpose? Say amen. All right. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on doing what's right. Now take your Bible and turn to the book of Daniel and turn to Daniel chapter 7 and look at verse 25. The book of Daniel and turn to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. Daniel chapter 7 and look at verse 25. Now I'm trying it. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. He is the Antichrist. And that's the devil. Amen? Now watch it. And shall underline this. Wear out the saints of the Most High. Underline that in your Bible. Wear out the saints of the Most High. See, you know what he does? The devil just keeps coming at you and coming at you and coming at you and coming at you and coming at you until you get to the place where you say, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of losing the battle there. I'm tired of it over here. And I'm tired on that side. And you stop resisting and the battle's over. But as long as you're still in the fight and you're saying, I'm fighting, I'm going to fight. I can't breathe, I can't smell, I can't think, I can't do nothing, but I'm not going to quit. How many of you ever seen this picture of this here bird and a swallow and a frog? And the frog's head is in the bird's mouth, and the frog's hands are out like this and got a hold of the neck of the bird. And his head's down inside, and he's got a hold of it like and choking the bird, and the bird's got his head down. And it says, don't quit. Don't quit. You know, sometimes I feel like that, but I'm right in the devil's mouth, and I got my hands up there, and I say, oh, God, like I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing. Don't quit. The battle ain't over yet. When you quit resisting against the flesh, and you quit resisting against the world, the battle's over. It ain't over. It ain't over yet. Keep on fighting a good fight. Now again, take your Bible and turn to the book of James. Turn to James chapter 4. Look at verse 7. Turn to the book of James and turn to James chapter 4 and look at verse 7. It says, James chapter 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. None claim. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now underline that in your Bible. Take your pen and underline it. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, wait a minute. Well, you got to do something first. First things come first. What does the first part of the verse say? It says, submit yourselves therefore unto God. You got to say, okay, Lord, I submit to you. I'll do it your way. I'll do what you want to do. And Lord, here I am. I submit myself totally to you. Not my will, but thy will be done. Okay, what do you want me to do? And then you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You can't do it the other way around. Don't you go up here and say, devil, you get hence. Now, wait a minute. You say, Lord Jesus, I submit to you and in your power, not my power. And with your Holy Spirit and not my spirit. Devil, in the name of Jesus Christ, you out of here. And you know something?
The devil has, he hates Jesus Christ, and he hates the blood of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Revelation, and turn to Revelation chapter 12. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Now turn to the verse. You have a warfare. You're in a warfare, and you're fighting. Then you must keep. The devil wants to break your resistance. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Revelation chapter 12, and look at verse 10. Revelation 12, 10. Now watch it. I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now let's read it again. How many are Revelation 12, 10? Raise your hand. Say amen. All right. There you go. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now watch it. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now underline day and night. The devil is what? He's accuser of the brethren day and night. In the daytime, you do something wrong, and so the devil runs to God and accuses you because you did something wrong. Now, lots of times the devil will be lying, but God knows whether he's lying or not. So he said, wait a minute, that's a lie, out of here. And God won't listen to him. But what if the devil's telling the truth? What if you're guilty of what the devil says you're guilty of? And you're absolutely, positively guilty. And the devil goes to God and says, you know what Nathan Bemis did? Do you know what he did? Now, if I've already got down on my hands and knees, take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. If I've already got down on my hands and knees and got into the throne room and beat the devil there, now turn to Hebrews and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 16. Turn to the verse. Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Underline it. The throne of grace. Write it in the margin of the Bible. That throne is in the third heaven where God is. So when you get down on your hands and knees right there, you're in the throne room. You're in God's throne room. What do? You beat the devil out. So when you beat the devil there, and the devil comes up and says, you know what that Nathan did? Then the Lord looks down and says, he did what? And the devil says, he did this. And the Lord says, I see blood. I see blood. The Bible says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Then all God can see is the blood of Christ. Then why? You say, why should I beat him to the throne room? Because what happens is the devil wants an accusation against him. He's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you to God and say, God, you ought to nail their hide because of look what they've done. You just say, Lord, I'm guilty. Please wash me in your precious blood. I ought to go to hell, but Lord, thank you, I'm not going to hell. Wash me and make me as white as snow. So when the devil gets there, the Lord says, I see blood. Now, did you get the point? And that said, day and night. Day and night. So in the nighttime, he's going up there. Why is he going up there at night? Because you forgot to get down beside your bed and pray before you went to sleep at night. So do you pray before you go to sleep at night? Well, the devil's up there accusing you. And you better pray before you go to sleep at night because the devil's up there accusing you before God Almighty. You better get on your hands and knees and say, Lord, if there's anything I messed up in today, Lord, show it to me. And then wait a while. And then if something comes to mind, you say, Lord, wash that in the blood of Jesus Christ and make it clean. And may I be clean when I go to bed tonight. And then when you're laying in the bed and the devil's up there accusing you, he can't get nothing against you. He has to be lying all the way. He's the accuser of the brethren. And then what did it say? Revelation chapter 12, verse 11 and 7, and it says in verse 11, and they overcame him by what? By what? The blood of the Lamb. Then, brother, you know how you resist the devil? Is you say, by the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanse my mind and wash those things out of my mind by the blood of Jesus Christ. Give me a clean mind.
You ever, devil ever give you a thought, put a thought in your mind, and you just kind of meditate on it, you know, and just kind of dilly-dally around and think about it a while and say, well, it don't hurt nothing, you know. A little bit don't hurt to look, you know. Haven't you ever heard that one? Don't hurt to look. That's a devil's story. Don't you ever listen to it, bud. That's a devil's story. It does hurt to look. The fellow just dilly-dallies around and starts thinking about that thing and thinking about that thing and thinking about that thing. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to do it. You're going to do it. You can't sit there and look at that dirty, filthy sex magazine and look at it and look at it and look at it and look at it and look at it. You're going to do something you wish you hadn't done. Don't believe me? The guy in my church did that. Did that and did that and did that. And his wife said, you got to stop that. You better stop that. You better stop that. You better get right with God. You better stop that. You know what he does? He goes and propositions his own wife's sister. Now, do you understand what I said? That's what happened to you, bud, if you don't get rid of that trash. You better get rid of it. Get it out. It ain't right for a Christian. Christian, don't do that. You're fighting the right kind of fight. Unless you lose a whole bunch of lousy battles. Now, again, take your Bible and turn to Judges chapter 20. Point number three, the Christian warfare is you got to know the place and the time of the coming battle. You got to know the place and the time of the coming battle. Look at the book of Judges. Look at Judges chapter 20. Turn to Judges chapter 20. Now write it down. You got to know the place and the time of the coming battle. Now that's half the battle. Now meditate upon a minute. To know the place and the time of the coming battle. Let me show you the verse. Turn to Judges chapter 20. Turn to the book. Joshua, Judges, and Judges chapter 20. Notice how important the place and the time of the coming battle is. All right. Judges chapter 20. And look at verse 34. And there come against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of Israel. Now let's go back a little bit further. Let's pick up verse 33. And all the men of Israel rose up out of their place and put themselves in array at... help me, Brother Martin. Somebody. How do you pronounce it? Again? Belt. How many of you can't pronounce it? Raise your hand. Well, at least she can't. She's with me, and he's with me. Come on, guys, let's go. You can't pronounce it, and you can't, and you can't, and you can't, and you can't. We got a majority. Come on, folks. You got to learn to laugh at yourself. Don't ever take yourself too serious. You know what's wrong with a lot of Christians? They take themselves too serious. You ain't that important. You're expendable, bud. And you can't, y'all got to learn to laugh at yourself. Amen? I just threw that in there. Now, Judges, look at verse 25. But the men would not hearken to him, so the men took... Now, is that right? No, I got the other verse. The rest of verse 33. And the layers in wait. Take your pen and underline it. Layers in wait. That's a bunch of guys over here hid. Hid. They're getting ready to... They're hidden. Nobody sees them. Layers in wait of Israel come forth out of their place over at the meadows of Gibeah. And there come against Gibeah 10,000 chosen men out of all Israel, and the battle was sore. But they knew not, now underline, knew not that evil was near them. Underline it. Knew not that evil was near them. Then what do you got to do in the warfare? You got to know the place and the time of the coming battle. Now think about it a minute. Have you ever been tempted in a certain place, at a certain time, under certain circumstances? If you get right there, you're going to be tempted in that particular place. Then that you know the battle's going to come. Look at here. Back there when the war happened, and they dropped all them bombs on Hawaii. What do they call that? Pearl Harbor.
All right, suppose we in the United States had known the battle in Pearl Harbor was going to occur. We knew it was going to happen. Everybody in the United States knew there's going to be a battle in Pearl Harbor in such and such a day, December the 7th, is that correct? December the 7th, 1941. And we knew what was going to happen, where it was going to happen. What would we have done, Dennis? We'd have got all our ships out of Pearl Harbor, and when the Japanese flew in there, there wouldn't have been a ship in the harbor. And they'd have said, man, where'd everybody go? They're saving their hide. Look at here, Christian. Now think about it. You ever be in a certain place, in a certain time, under certain circumstances, and you lost a battle once before? Come on. And you lost the battle then, and you lost the battle then. And make sure that you don't get in that place. It's your picture, but I can't help. I'm going to be in that place. Well, then be prepared. I didn't write it. Point number one, you ought to know the place and the time of the coming battle so you can be prepared. Be ready. Don't go in there not prayed up. Don't go in there without your memory verses. Get your memory verses. Say, Lord, I got to go, but I got my memory verses and I'm prayed up. God, here I go. Some places you should never show up. You got saved and used to go in the bar. Don't go in the bar again. Did you hear what I said? Don't go in a bar again. Don't ever go in another bar. You don't even walk by the bar. If the bar's on that corner, walk around the corner. Don't look in one. Don't go in one. Don't go in there to make a telephone call. Don't go in there to see a friend. Don't go in one whatsoever. Stay as far away from that place as you can stay away. Why? Because you've been bit by a rattlesnake in there. There's a rattlesnake in there. And you've been bit by him. And you'll get bit again, bud. You get bit, you say, well, I'm saved now. He'll bite you, brother, he'll bite you again, and you'll lose plenty, and you'll hate it. Stay away from that place. You got to know the time and the place of the coming battle. Do you know the time and the place of the coming battle? Do you? Then be prepared. Prepare your heart. Prepare your spirit. Prepare your mind and be ready. Fight a good fight. Fight a good fight. There again. Now, point number four. Point number four, and that is, sometimes in this battle, you gotta get desperate. Sometimes in this battle, you gotta get desperate. In every war that's ever fought, sometimes you gotta get desperate to fight the battle. I mean, if you're just going to go through there and say, I think I can make it. I think we're okay. We don't have to get too excited. We don't have to get too excited. I think I'm okay. I think I can get out of it. I think I know when to quit. I think I can quit. I think I can quit when I want to quit. No, sometimes you've got to get victory over some sins. You know what you've got to do? You've got to get desperate with God Almighty. Now take your Bible and turn to the book of Judges. And turn to Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. And look at verse 31. Now turn to Judges chapter 11. And look at verse 31. And it says, Judges chapter 11, verse 31. Then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's. And I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Now who is this? This is Jethro. This is Jethro. And Jethro said, God, if you'll help me, I'll offer up whatever comes out my door as a sacrifice. You know what come out the door? How many of you know what come out the door of Jethro's house? His own daughter come out there. His own daughter come out there. You know what he did? Look what he did. In Judges chapter 11, in verse 39, it says, and she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. Look at that. Isn't that something? You know what God, you know what that fellow did? That fellow sacrificed his own daughter. Man, alive! You know how come some Christians don't? Now, I don't agree with the fellow. I think he kind of made a mistake, kind of rise power. He should have waited on God. God would have taken care of him, but he messed up. I agree with him. But you have to admit, it's quite a wise power. It was quite a vow, wasn't it? He was desperate. He was desperate. You know why some Christians never get victory over sin? They never get desperate.
You get to where that old flesh just rises up against you like that and just puts a death hold around your throat like that. Never get in sin, young people. Never get in sin right now. Don't get in sin right now, because sin doesn't let go of you. You're clean right now. Stay clean. You're clean right now. Stay that way. Don't think that sin's going to leave you better, because it ain't going to leave you any better. Sin grab a death hold around you and choke you to death, boy. Just grab a hold of your throat, and that old sinner just like, I ain't going to let go, I ain't going to let go, I ain't going to let go. And he'd like to kill you. But I'll tell you something, there's a way out if you get desperate. You say, get desperate? Yeah. I'll tell you how to live. Get on your knees and say, oh God, God, I want you to take away this sin. And God, if you don't take away this sin, I want you to kill me. I want you to kill me if you don't take away this sin. That's desperate. Now, Jesus, it'll work. It'll work. You don't believe me? Try it. Try it. Got an old sin that you don't want? You've committed time after time after time after time after time. We're creatures of habit, brother. We're creatures of habit. Time after time after time, and it grieves your spirit and grieves your spirit and grieves your spirit, and you cry out to God and say, oh God, this sin just hurts me. This sin just kills me. It kills me. I can't do nothing. It just kills me. Every time I turn around, it kills me. Oh God, will you just take away the sin or kill me? And you know what God will do for you? God will say, oh, okay, sister, I'll take it away. And he'll take the sin away from you, and it won't be there no more. You're going to win the battle. Sometimes, you've got to get desperate. Now again, write in your notes, write down, the battle is lost when you get overconfident. The battle is lost when you get overconfident. You say, what's that, overconfident? That means you get to the place where you think you got it won. You think, man, I can whip these, I can whip it, I got it. You get proud. And then you get to where you think you got it, and you think you know the Scripture, and you think you know the Bible, and you think you're up on top, you get overconfident, and you know what happens? Bam! You know, look at here. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Romans. Turn to the book of Romans and turn to Romans chapter 4. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Now turn to the verse. Turn to Romans chapter 4, and I want you to see a guy's strong point, and then I want to show you where he messes up. He got overconfident. Romans chapter 4, and look at verse 20, Romans 4:20. Watch it. What I'm showing you is a man being overconfident, and he's strong in his point. You know what we fail at? We fail at our strong point. That's where every Christian fails. He gets strong in one place, gets there, gets overconfident in it, and then he faith. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Alright? He staggered not at the promise of God. That's Abraham. Write it in the margin of your Bible. That's Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Take your pen and underline it. Strong in faith. You know what Abraham's strong point was? He was strong in faith, brother. That's his strong point. That's what Abraham is noted for. He's noted for his faith. Now watch him fail at. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and look at verse 10. Watch him fail in his strong point. Now turn to it. This is about the battle. You got a battle against the flesh and a battle against the world and a battle against the devil. Genesis chapter 12, look at verse 10. And there was a famine in the land, their land. And Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there. Ain't that something? Abraham's strong in faith. And then it says there's a famine in the land. And what does Abraham do when there's a famine in the land? He goes to Egypt. He messed up when he went to Egypt. Right then and there. He was strong in faith. He just messed up. He went to Egypt. You know what we do? That's where you mess up. You mess up in your strong point. You mess up when you get overconfident. Overconfident, think, I got it made, I can make it. I can do it, ha ha, I can do it, yes I can do it, I can get it, fine, I got the ability to do it. you have not got the ability to do it. You can't do nothing. Without him, I can do. Come on, louder, folks, louder. I can't hear you. Say it again. Again. He does it. He does it. You don't do it. Don't get too self-confident. He's got to do it through you, not you. Now again, let me show you another man. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers and turn to Numbers chapter 12 and look at verse 3. Numbers chapter 12 and look at verse 3. Take your Bible and turn there. Numbers chapter 12 and look at verse 3. This man was strong in this point. He was strong in his meekness. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3 says, "Now the man Moses was very meek." Now watch it. "Above all the men which are upon the face of the earth." Now you know something? That fellow Moses, he was strong. It said he was a strong, as far as meekness was concerned, he was the meekest man on the face of this earth. That's pretty strong. Come on, ain't it, folks? He was a meek man. You know why God loved Moses? You know why God talked to him face to face and eye to eye like he was his own personal friend? He was a meek man. And now watch this meek man get overconfident. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm chapter 107 and look at verse 33. Psalms 107 and look at verse 33. Psalms 170. Is that 107? Now, don't tell me I've got the wrong one. There it is, Psalms 106. Psalms 106, and pick up verse, I'll show you, it was Moses. Well, Moses is back through there, but the verse I want you to see is verse 32. "And they angered him also at the waters of Strife, so that it went ill with Moses." There it is. Here's this meek man, meekest man on the earth. "Ill with Moses for their sake, because they provoked his spirit so that he speak adversely with his lips." Now, you know what that's referring to? Write down the cross-reference. That's referring to Numbers chapter 20, 1 through 10, where Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and it kept him from going into the promised land. You know what to do? You got to watch out in this battle. You got to watch out for being overconfident. Get overconfident. Or can you win a soul to Christ? Don't get overconfident. Do you know the Bible, read the Bible, memorize the Bible? Don't get overconfident. Do you say, "I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't do this, don't do that, and don't do this"? You'll get self-righteous if you ain't real careful. Don't get overconfident. You know what God does? God gives every dog enough fleas to remind him he's nothing but a dog. And God will allow you to have enough sins to remind you that you're nothing but a sinner. Don't get overconfident. Now, last of all, the battle is lost when you don't obey orders. The battle is lost when you won't obey orders. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. The battle's lost when you won't obey orders. And it come to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here am I." And he said, "Take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering." Ha ha. Ho ho. Now, suppose Abraham was out there, and God says, "I want you to take your son, and I want you to go over there someplace or another, and I want you to offer him for a burnt offering." Now, suppose Moses said, "That don't sound reasonable to me." Does that sound reasonable to you? Come on. You folks that got reason, they got the smart brains. That don't sound reasonable to me. This is my son right here we're talking about, Lord. And in fact, it's my only son. You give it to me when she was 90-some years old, and look how old I am. And God, you want me to offer him up? What are you saying anyway? Did he do that? Did he argue with God? Did he argue with God? Did God come down and say, "Now, Moses, this is what I want to do. I want to give you a picture of the death of Christ, my son who's going to come down here several years from now and is going to die for the sins of mankind. And therefore, I want a picture in the Bible to show everybody that this is a type of my son." Did God do that? God didn't explain nothing to him. You and I know that. Come on. How many of you know that he represents a type of Christ and the blood of the Lamb? How do you know that? Say amen. See, did God explain that to Abraham? Then God don't have to explain to you either. God don't have to explain to you what he's doing. He don't have to come down there and say, "Now this is what I'm doing right here, like this right here. There it is right there. Now I want you to obey my orders. Can't you see it?" He didn't say that. He just says, "This is what I want you to do, and I'm not going to explain to you what I want you to do. I want you to obey orders. Now, your job is to obey orders and not say, 'Well, Lord, I don't know what the overall plan is. I don't know what the overall plan is. I haven't seen the past, can't see the future, and I don't even know what God's doing. But I know one thing. He wants me to obey orders. And he wants you to obey orders. Make sure that they're God's orders.'" Now, write it down. Make sure that they're God's orders. If they're God's orders, obey them. Obey them. Follow his orders. If you can't obey orders, fellow, you're through. Why? You say, "Yes, sir." And you do what that commanding officer tells you to do. You ever been in the service? How many have been in service? How many have been in the Army or the Marine or the Navy or the Air Force? Stand up. Stand up. You learn to obey orders. When he said, "Obey orders," you earned it. Don't ever forget it in your Christian life. Keep on obeying orders. You got a new captain. You're to obey orders whether you understand the whole plan or not. You learned it there. Keep on doing it here. As God's man, doing what God wants you to do. Thank you. You may be seated. You know what's wrong with you and me? Lots of us, we don't obey God's orders when he talks to us. He tells us what to do. I, one day, was going up to the grocery store. I hate to tell a story, but I was going up to the grocery store about a block from my house, and I went up there to a little old, you know, these Circle K things, you know, kind of a little Circle K where you can buy, junk food, you know. And I went up there one night, buy some junk food, and this guy in there, he had a pair of glasses on. They were all scratched up. You take them glasses and you say, "Oh, my glasses are all scratched up." Looked at them glasses and they're all scratched up. And I got to talking to him. I said, "Yeah, I wear glasses too, and they're made out of plastic too, and once in a while they get scratched too." And I talked back and forth, and I must have talked there in 10 minutes. Right in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Witness to him. Witness to him right there, right now." And inside my heart I said, "Lord, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow." And he kept talking. And I kept talking. I talked back and forth there. And we talked about the grass. And I said, "I got paint on mine. Look at the paint I got on mine. I got paint on mine. I always got paint on mine." And I talked back and forth to him for another 10 minutes. And then I walked out of the store. And I walked home. And as I walked home, the Lord said, "You should have witnessed to him." And I walked home, got home. Next day, I walked back up there and said, "Lord, I'm going to witness to him today. I'm going to get that guy, get a track in my pocket, got my Bible, I'm all ready to go." I walked into the store in there, I says, "Where's Bill?" That lady looked at me and she said, "He died last night. He died last night." I don't know what you did, I don't know what you feel about it. But I feel like, "Thank God, I'll let you down. Lord, I'll let you down. You give me the orders, and I argued with you. I argued with you about it. I said, 'Not now.' I argued with you about it because I didn't know the future. God knew the future. Now, I made that mistake, and I've made that mistake twice now. Two times. Second time I did, a guy said to me, 'I want to go over and see my mother. She's in the hospital, and she's dying. She's sick. I want you to go witness to her. And I put it off. I didn't go. He said, will you go over there and see Nathan? Will you go over and see my mother? I said, yeah, I will. Cecil, I'll go. I said, Cecil, I'll go. And I didn't go over and see his mother. A couple months went by, and I opened up the paper, and read the paper, and it said that lady had died, and the Mormons had just come in there, and the Mormons had talked to her and convinced her to join the Mormon church, and they were preaching the funeral. Now, it's a terrible thing. I hate to tell you about it, but I'm telling you about it so you won't make the same mistake I made in failing to say, yes, sir, Lord, I will! I will! I will! I will! You got to learn to obey orders. If you don't learn to obey orders, the battle's already lost. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Christians praying tonight. There's been many a battle in my life that I've lost. I've lost it miserably. But I've won a few. I've won a few. I've lost some with the devil. But I've won a few. I've lost some with the world. But I won a few. I'm in the fight. I'm in the fight. Christian, are you in the fight? Are you winning some of them? Are you right in there winning some of them and say, Lord, I'm doing something for you. I'm getting something done. I'm in the fight. I'm in the battle. I'm not losing this one. I'm not losing this one. Is there a hand here tonight, say, preacher, I know what I need to do is get desperate. Then get desperate. Get desperate. Say, oh, God, take that sin out of my life. I'm sick and tired of it. Oh, God, take it out of my life. Or are you just going to say, well, I'll quit when I get ready. I'll quit. I'll start when I get ready. I'll do that, Lord, one of these days when I get around to it. I'll do it. You'll never get victory over sin. You'll never win the battle till you get desperate. You're here tonight, you're unsaved, you're not in the battle. You don't even know what I'm talking about. Half my message you didn't even get. You know something? You're going to die in your sins, and you're going to go to hell, and you're going to burn forever because you said, I can do it all myself. You can't do it yourself. You need Jesus Christ. Now come to Him as your Savior and become a Christian and get in the battle. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you speak to each and every heart here tonight. Lord, please. Don't let them slide, Father. Don't let them slide. Lord, please speak to them. In Jesus' precious name, I pray, and for His sake. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Take your hymnal. 317. 317, your hymnal. Now, if God spoke to your heart, you come. Get in the battle. Come right now. God spoke to you. Folks, do something. Do something. Do something. Come on. Let's go. Okay, are you satisfied? Are you done? Or do you need to do some praying? If you need to find your way down here, do it quick. Give you a couple of verses to respond. The invitation is between you and the Lord. And you need to do what God wants you to do. What you heard tonight, priceless beyond words. Your turn now to respond.
do what God wants you to do. Make it quick, one more verse. Okay, thank you for coming this way. I'd like to ask you to come back Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Come back, get some preaching under your inside of your heart, and bring somebody with you if you would, please. Careful as you exit now. We've got parking lot lit up, but you be very careful. Let's not say nothing does not make us immune from accidents. Just sort of shields us somewhat. Be careful as you leave. Let's pray for safety as we go. Stick around as long as you want to for fellowship. There's some will be here, I'm sure, for another hour, maybe even a couple of hours. But you're certainly welcome to stay. Brother Sunheimer, would you please close it out? Amen, amen. You're dismissed.